Welcome to The Scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Ben Weaver, photographer and student, and all kinds of other things. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Give me a little bit of background on what you do with photography and also what you're going to school for.
So I started photography back in 2020, and the main reason I did that was because I was going into film school later that year, and I thought to myself, if I'm going to learn how to take, 24 frames a second, 24 photos a second with film, or 30 frames a second with film, I should at least know how to take one good photo or frame. So I set out to just get myself a regular, middle of the line camera, get some basic lenses, and by doing that, I learned and developed my skill set, lots and lots of YouTube videos, lots and lots of online tutorials, and over time I taught myself how photography works. And so when I transitioned to actually going in film school, surprise, surprise, I was far exceeding most of my other classmates because they didn't know the basic principles of camera technique and how to take photos and how to set up exposure and lighting and all the stuff that you learn in photography. So by doing that, I kind of gave myself a bit of an edge in film school. And so when I tell my classmates, anyone that's wanting to go into film, I always say, learn photography first, because even if you don't want to be a photographer, knowing how to take one good photo will help you take, 24 photos a second like you do in film.
100%, because learning the lighting and exposure and everything is so important. Mm-hmm. And just how to frame a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people, everyone is an iPhone photographer these days. But not everyone knows how to lay out a scene to
make it
interesting. And that's, I think, even more important in film. So you're self-taught. What kind of gear did you start off with? I'm curious. I don't talk to a lot of photographers on here, so I get to nerd out a little.
So I started out, it's a funny story. I started out my photography journey, if you would, back in, I think it was mid 2010s, I would go on mission trips down to Panama, Central America, and I'd take my mom's DSLR, it's like a R4 or something like that. Not a very high end camera. And I would just take photos, and I wasn't very good at it, but I would try. And then my youth pastor, Luke Eldridge, who's also the vice mayor of Cookeville, he brought his nifty 50 lens. And so when I tried that out, all of a sudden the photos started looking good. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. I can take good photos. Come 2015, the iPhone 6 came out, and it was bragging about, being able to compete with normal, regular DSLRs. And so when I went on another mission trip to Iceland, I had the option of taking the DSLR, but I took my iPhone because it can take just as good of photos. And I still kick myself over that to this day. So I was like, you were in Iceland and you took an iPhone.
You just have to go back.
But yeah, right. And so starting out doing that, I learned all the basics with that. And so when I came into about 2019, I was learning photo editing. I was trying to teach myself that just using photos on my phone. There were several photos I would take on my phone of me and my girlfriend, and I would edit them. And I did not edit them very good. They were really bad. And she would be like, "Yeah, I don't like them." I'm like, "But I tried so hard." And she's like, "Yeah, but they don't look good." I'm like, whatever." And I appreciate the honesty, because that kind of was like, "All right, well, hey." Once I got a T7i, Canon T7i is what I have. I still have it to this day. It's what I bought in 2020. Got an EOS 50mm f1.8.
And gotta love the 50mm.
Yeah, and a Sigma 18-35 1.8. And that's all I have. It's just that camera and those two lenses. Honestly, that's all you really need. And, of course, Lightroom on desktop to edit all the stuff in Photoshop. And so over those years, you don't know how to edit a photo. kind of pushed me. And it's like, I got to learn how to edit photos. And so now she looks at other people's photos. She's like, yeah, but you're so much better. I'm like, yeah,
Well, and also there's a big difference between editing
right
from your phone, yes, and then editing when you've shot raw.
Yep. There's such
huge,
a big difference.
Huge difference. Yeah, but so much stuff you
but
can do.
That kind of motivation. And I'm always one that's kind of like, basically push yourself out of what you have. To me, I kind of hold the mantra of creativity is born through limitation. And so by not having all the stuff, you can really push yourself and see what all you can make with just what you have. So
love that. We'll be right back on the scene with more with Ben Weaver. Welcome back. You're on the scene, and we're here with Ben Weaver today, photographer here in Cookeville. So we've talked about how you got started, some of the gear you started off with. So now you're in film school. How's that going?
Well, I should be done in December. It's going pretty well. It's definitely different than photography, but in more ways than I thought, it's very similar to photography too. It's still the same basic concepts and principles. Just now you're having to tell a story with video instead of telling a story with a photo. So when you kind of be able to do that, switch that part of your brain over to be doing that, it really kind of is like, oh, okay. And then it just comes naturally right after that. So yeah, it's going pretty good. Hopefully I'll be done in December.
Awesome. I imagine it's easier to tell a story with video than it is with camera, just because you've got more than just one frame that you've got to make it say something.
I mean, there are definitely aspects that are easier, but in the long and short, it's actually harder, because I can tell a story with a photo or, you know, a set of photos that are one right after the other. And I feel like kind of the photo, so you got, you know, video, and then you have like artistic paintings, and the photo is kind of like the perfect in between. And so, you know, 200 years ago, that you couldn't tell a story with a photo, you had to do it with a painting or several paintings. And now it's very easy to just take a video and tell a story. So I feel like photography to me is kind of more my comfort zone. So, you know, just basically setting up this, posing this way, lighting this way, and doing all that, you can really emphasize a story and rather than video. Because it's easy to just take a video of someone reading a script, but it's a lot harder to set the scene up to tell the story beyond them just reading it. So, like, one of our assignments was literally to find a movie, a feature movie that we've never seen, go halfway in between them, halfway through the movie, mute it, and watch 5 minutes and predict what the story is supposed to, what's happening in the story.
Oh,
without,
interesting.
Without even knowing the story, the characters, or the dialogue. Because if a good filmmaker will be able to tell the story with lighting and shadows and composition and all this stuff, rather than just the characters reading the script. So in that principle, that was easier for me to grasp than the script and the screenwriting and all that stuff and the acting, because I can tell a story with lighting and composition, all that stuff, without the script. So the script is secondly to the cinematography, which is what it's called. So
that makes sense. I guess I can see that. What's your favorite type of photography to do? Because, like, you go to your Instagram, and obviously you've got lots of landscapes.
Yeah.
You've got portraits in there,
mm-hmm.
Commercial photography. So what's kind of, like, your bread and butter?
I call it, like, wanderlust photography. It's the going to a pretty place at a pretty time of day and pressing a button on a box. That's kind of the long and short of it. Some of my favorite photos are just me and my friends out exploring a new place, and I just, not even like worrying about the lighting, not even worrying about the composition, just taking a photo and pressing it. And, you know, there comes the aspect of, I guess other people in my area call it adventure photography or travel photography. I really just call it kind of wanderlust landscape of, this is a dreamy place and you wish you were here, don't you? Kind of thing.
I yeah. love that, because I always have that thought when I'm, especially waterfalls, mm-hmm. or like that, like golden hour, mm-hmm. Like in the middle of a forest where it's just like very like ethereal,
oh, yeah.
and like fairy tale,
yep.
and I'm always like, oh, this is great. And I try to avoid taking pictures with people in general, just because
it definitely
my thing.
It's definitely easier. I always tell people that, you know, some people are like, why don't you, you know, take more pictures of people? I'm like, because waterfalls don't move or make weird faces. Waterfalls are just there. You don't have to pose people for that. You just take it.
And they don't go, oh, but I don't like the way my yeah. face looks in the picture.
Yep.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Ben Weaver. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Ben Weaver about photography, film school, and just wanderlust in general. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite places you've been?
Oh, man, that's tricky. Besides Iceland, which is like the obvious choice, last summer I went and spent some time with my family out in Colorado Springs, which was gorgeous because we have mountains here, we have valleys here and stuff, but going and seeing the Rockies was really something, especially Garden of the Gods. It's a park right outside of Colorado Springs, and it is gorgeous. If anybody goes, I always say sunrise, because right as the sun rises, all the peaks, the orange peaks just light up in gold, and it's just, oh, it's so pretty. Besides that, though, I really like, I'm always a sucker for a good waterfall. So, you know, Greeter Falls is one of my favorites. January, I went with a bunch of photographers out to Foster Falls, and what was cool about that trip was the tree branches were all frozen over because the waterfall mist was on the trees, and then because it was freezing, it froze over, and so you had all these ice crystals dropping down over the waterfall. That was very pretty. So yeah, just kind of just very scenic places, mountains and waterfalls. I mean,
yeah, yeah. All the good things.
All the good things.
I had some friends who got married at Garden of the Gods. Mm-hmm. So all those pictures, I was just like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I haven't done much out west, but I'm going to Utah in October.
I'm probably going to be going like this September.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm going for a conference in the last, it ends and I'm staying over a couple days. So yep. It's not going to be long, but I'm going to have time to get down to Moab and go to Arches. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I can't wait. What has been one of your favorite projects with film school so far? We're all over the place in this interview.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough question. Some of my favorite projects have honestly just been the stuff that challenges you. So one of our projects was you had to basically do a whole video with no dialogue, no audio.
Okay.
So you have to tell like a silent film. You have to tell a story like a silent film. Which is tricky. And then you got another one, which is a 5x5, which is you have to tell a story with 5 shots, 5 separate clips, each are 5 seconds long.
Ooh.
So it's a traditional 5x5, and you have to tell a story in 25 seconds. And that's very tricky. For me, I've found that the trickiest projects and the hardest ones are always my favorite, because that's what really pushes your creativity and really pulls the creativity out of you that's naturally in there. So in doing that kind of stuff, it's just, it really, I like the challenge because it tells you what's already in you and what's in you. So that's kind of what I like, the challenging stuff.
I can understand that. That's like anytime I'm trying to come up with like a new project or something, that's always like the, okay, what can I do that's going to make me like actually think about it and like kind of push myself outside of comfort zones, which I am not always the best at, but I try.
Sure.
So what's coming up? I know you're hoping to graduate in December.
Yes. I have been negligent of my photography for these past few months just because I've been so focused on getting through the semester. So this summer, I'm really planning on going out and, you know, traveling to some new places, going out with some new people, really kind of just kind of spreading my wings and trying to start a business, honestly, trying to see what I can do to make money doing this, because I just do this for fun. I don't do it as a business, but if I can make it a business, I would love to. So that's kind of what I got in the future.
Sounds good. Any exciting trips planned besides potentially Utah in
September? Yeah, hopefully Utah in September. Other than that, it's really just kind of, you know, going out to the Smokies, going out camping, camping at some, like, not Max Patch, but an area similar to Max Patch.
Yeah.
And we're really wanting to get more into the camping in the mountains, because spending that time in Colorado, I was like, man, I got to get out into the mountains more. So spending time out there is something I'm wanting to do this summer.
Nice. I wish I could do that, but I'm too old to want to sleep on the ground anymore.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. How can people
me.
Find you if they're interested in seeing your work?
So I'm on mainly Instagram, at i.ben.weaver. I also have a second portraits page where I just take photos of portraits. And I have a website, www.ibenweaver.com. and that's where you can find my stuff.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.